So this is a new month, so we have a new Centers for Spiritual Living topic. Of course, our topic for the entire year is value-based spiritual living. And our theme for the month of July is about communication, spiritual living through open communication. And that's what today is about, spiritual living through open communication. We all communicate openly with each other in an atmosphere of collaboration and inclusion. That's the quote from Centers for Spiritual Living. Isn't that a good way to have a life? Isn't that a wonderful way to co-create a world? I'm going to say it again. We communicate openly with each other in an atmosphere of collaboration and inclusion. I can really get with that. How about you? Yes, please. Okay. So, free to speak freely. Okay, I'm going to tell you something that not too many people know or would really believe. When I was a child, I just really didn't speak much. See? I told you. I didn't speak for a long time. Not really, not much, I'm told. I don't remember that. I do remember being very shy. You believe that one too, right? It's true. I was a very shy kid. I also was raised in Unity and Religious Science Fun Day schools, so I learned early on that I had nothing to be afraid of because this is a God who loves us. I learned early on that there's a power within us that is given to us as we arrive here on the planet, in fact, before. And that I could use that by thinking and feeling and speaking and acting from the most loving, compassionate, powerful place that I could. And I did learn early on not to have the love of power, but the power of love. And that's what we are co-creating to make this country and this world what we desire for it to be. The very first 4th of July that Reverend Mike and I were here, we did it up royally. We're in the birthplace of our country. We went to Center City and we listened to the speeches and the choirs and we were so excited. We waved our flags, and in fact, these are the ones we got there. We were really into it, and we were able to get right up to the fence. We were right up in the front when the parade was coming by. What a parade! It was amazing. What a great way to begin being Pennsylvanians. Then last year, we went to a little town, a little community with kids and tricycles and the local fire engines, and it was just kind of hokey and wonderful. It was all of it—a wonderful way to celebrate. Now this year. Are you ready for this? We are going into Manhattan, and we're going to be there. We're going in on Tuesday morning, and that evening, we're already signed up for the circle tour of the New York Harbor, and we get to go past the lady with the torch while they're doing wonderful fireworks everywhere. You know, it just gets better. There are so many ways for us to celebrate. My son-in-law married my daughter. I actually was able to officiate at that marriage 30-some years ago. You may come in here. Come on. You're welcome. And they went and moved from California to Florida. And I kept thinking, of course, each year they'd be coming back. Well, they didn't. And so we visit them there as often as possible. They came up here for my installation. You may remember meeting Jerry Ann and Runo, my daughter and son-in-law. And then they came last year when we dedicated our new space. Well, that last November, we took them to see the Liberty Bell and Constitution Hall, and it was the most incredible experience to watch Runo, who was born in Sweden and kept telling his parents at the dinner table every night, tell us about the time you went to Chicago. What is the United States of America like? Until he finally got the family to move here. He spoke his word, and he spoke it clearly and freely. Well, he knows more about our Constitution, our laws, our country, than most of us do who were born here. This was his adopted country, and he wanted to know everything about it. In his business, they have the largest flooring company in South Florida, and he brings Brazilians in all the time. They call him Papa, because he sponsors them as they become citizens. And so this means a great deal to him. Watching him at the Liberty Bell and watching him at Constitution Hall, where they're reliving everything, and he was right up there listening and watching everything. And of course, they made him a governor of one of the states, so he got to answer in certain ways. It meant so much to him. And at the same time that we were experiencing this, behind the Liberty Bell in the open space back there, there was a demonstration going on. And it was like, this is democracy in action. Learning our history, remembering the principles upon which our country was built, and then seeing it in action. And when we came out of Constitution Hall, I never saw my son-in-law before with tears in his eyes. He was so moved by it. Sometimes it takes someone who's come from another place for us to realize the sweetness, the importance, the essential freedoms that we have. Now, we know that our Constitution's First Amendment begins with the right of the freedom of speech. We also know that that right is innate. We already had it. It was nice to have it recognized. It was wonderful to have it put down in writing. We have two magnificent documents, the Magna Carta and the Constitution. Now, in 5th century BC, the Greek philosopher Thucydides, say that with me, Thucydides, he said, the secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage. Now, I was explaining to the kids this morning about the meaning of the colors in our flag, and the red really is about being courageous. We need to be courageous enough to speak our truth at the same time that we're wise enough to speak it in a way that we can speak into another person's listening. It's very different to just spout off what our opinions and our feelings are than it is to get in touch with our truth, our universal truth, and to find a way to share it with others that we understand and can agree upon. Do you know, in the midst of all the disagreement, there's always, always something upon which we can agree? We need to find that. That truth, that right is innate. And as each of us is an individualization of the one, then we have the ability to realize that that's a divine quality. Freedom is part of the qualities of God, which are imbued within us as well. So do we want to speak up and say our truth? Yes. And we want to say it in such a way that justice is done and that we do it through open communication, respectful open communication with one another. And sometimes that means listening with our hearts open to somebody that we really don't think we have anything in common with at all. You see, that's how we're in the process of co-creating a whole different country, a whole different universe. And where does it start? Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with Joe. Is that how it goes? Joe thinks so. Joe knows so. We get to change our country by changing ourselves. We want to have the courage to speak our truth, and then the world becomes more authentic. Sometimes we need to be brave enough to say the hard sayings to the people we love the most, and to say them with an open heart and a desire to connect rather than disconnect. Because if we speak too soon, if we're reacting rather than responding, we can do damage. What we want to do is to build and to create loving, authentic relationships. That means we can't skirt around the things that are problems. It means I want to do my internal work if I have a fuss with somebody in my mind and in my heart. I want to do my internal work first and go, have I ever done anything like that? Have I ever said anything like that to anyone? I mean, I need to look at myself first and see, what do I need to clean up here? If I still feel the need to communicate in a way that we can reach a deeper understanding, I want to have the courage and the compassion to do that, so that I can express my feelings and I can listen to someone else's feelings in a state of grace. And when we tell each other what's so, instead of, everything is fine, how are you? Fine. Do you know how that does not create a deep, loving relationship? But when we go deeper and we say, well, let's talk about the things that can help our relationship become more real. Let's be authentic with ourselves and with one another. And when we're really authentic, we're discovering and remembering that within our beloved is the beloved. Oh. That's when we can communicate in a way that the words are no longer getting in the way. Have you ever noticed the words get in the way sometimes? When we lead with our hearts, when we are willing to communicate openly, then we choose our thoughts, we choose our feelings, we choose our words, and we choose our actions from the highest possible place, lovingly, courageously. We will never tell you or anyone else how you're supposed to behave in the world, or how you're supposed to walk out your philosophy into the world, only that you are encouraged to walk our philosophy out into the world. It's going to look differently to some people than to others. Reverend Mike and I participated in January in the Women's March in Washington, D.C. But we weren't angry. We were not in any kind of conflict whatever. We walked with a banner that our dear David Gerdstadt, who makes all the buttons and the art for the kids upstairs, all the Be Kind buttons, we walked with a banner that said, Be Kind. That was our statement. That's how we took our principle out to the streets. And you and I get to determine how we bring about a world that works for all. And if after meditation and deep inquiry, we find ourselves guided by spirit to speak our kindness, to speak our sense of possibility, not in defiance, not in arguing, and not in making anyone wrong, but in simply standing up for our truth, then we rest easily at night. For change to happen, I must change. If you want to, too, okay. But I know I'm the one who has to. Dr. Moira Fox, who has now for many years been the spiritual leader of the Redondo Beach Center for Spiritual Living, and that's where I grew up many years ago, she said, America can indeed become the greatest place to be, but only when it becomes the most loving place to be. Can you get on that bandwagon? I can. let's make our own homes and our own cities and our own workplaces and our own schools and our own greater environment, our country and our world, a more loving place to be. The principles upon which our country was built began with E pluribus unum, out of the many, one. And out of the one, many. I mean, Ernest Holmes has taught us that for years. Multiplicity in unity, unity in multiplicity. We love our union, we love our diversity. We celebrate our oneness, and we celebrate our diversity. The strength of the United States of America is based on the diversity of its people. Thomas Merton, in his New Seeds of Contemplation, said, "Perfect spiritual freedom is the total inability to make an evil choice. When everything you desire is truly good, and every choice not only aspires to that good but attains it, then you are free, because you do everything that you want. Every act of your will ends in perfect fulfillment." See, it's our intention that we're setting that makes the difference. Years ago, I heard a powerful phrase: intention is measured by effect. I had to think about that. That means I can't say, well, I didn't mean to do it. Intention is measured by effect. If I created something that wasn't real pleasant in my home or in the world somehow, somewhere there must have been an intention that wasn't pure. Somehow I wasn't coming from my highest and my finest place. Somehow I got confused about all of the matote, remember, as Don Miguel Ruiz says in the Four Agreements, the stuff that goes on in the world. The human race consciousness, that whole subjective area of mind that can impinge upon us if we let it in. And what do we call some of those ideas and some of that chatter? If you remember it, we call it nincompoopery. And we can be negatively infected by it, yes, if we let ourselves be. But the wonderful thing is, Ernest Holmes said years ago when he was asked, "What do you think this philosophy is going to do for the world?" He said, "It is to lift the collective unconscious," which is a term he borrowed from Carl Jung. It's to lift the collective unconscious. In other words, we can have a positive impact upon all of the thinking, the subconscious, not aware thinking of human beings, rather than let the things that are error thoughts to creep in. We have the power to do that, and of course we wish to be vigilant, not hyper-vigilant, just aware, just noticing, just looking every day to see, am I in alignment with the highest and the best possible, that God is within me, because we do teach that we are individualized expressions of the living spirit, that what is true of the infinite is true of each of us. And the qualities of the divine are love, life, light, peace, power, beauty, and joy. All of those are within each of us as well, and we have the ability to come to that place, the peace of contemplation, where we can actually remember that the 4th of July marks the founding of this nation, our independence from the past, and our decision, this is the more important part, our decision to take responsibility for the future. No matter what's going on that surprised us and didn't delight us, no matter what we are not in agreement with, gee, that doesn't look like justice to me, we can stand tall in our principles and know that we make a difference even without leaving the building. But if we choose to walk from the building and bring our consciousness with us into the everyday encounters we have with other people, what a difference it makes. Even in the small things. Remember, beloved Mother Teresa said, you needn't do great things in this life. Do small things with great love. The small things with great love is what ultimately is going to be the tipping point. Are you ready for a tipping point?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Well, then we get to do our holy part. It's sacred work that we're doing here. Ernest Holmes, many years ago, wrote a prayer for our country, which we've put out for you if you'd like to take one home. And also in one of his radio programs, which was about the time of the Korean War, he spoke some wise and wonderful words. I'm going to read just a little bit of it now. He says, freedom is something that is won with difficulty and kept only through eternal vigilance. And what does freedom really mean as it works out through the only instrument that can maintain its purpose, the instrument of government, other than the idea that all people are equal before God, that everyone is an individual in his or her own right, and that each should have the privilege of self-expression provided by his or her desires, provided his or her desires do not infringe on the rights of others. Democracy is a great cooperative enterprise through which this is made possible. Remember when the Constitution was written and all men are created equal? Do you know who they were talking about? The white men, slave owners. Thank God we are in the process of evolving our consciousness, maybe not fast enough, but look at the progress we have made and what's yet to be made. People of color were not included. Women were not included. You know, I have to tell you this story. In my very first church in Alamo, California, not Texas, in the East Bay of San Francisco, there was a little girl named Courtney. The only church she had ever attended was ours. And her mother was in Science of Mind classes with me. And one night in the Science of Mind class, she said, you know, Courtney was watching television the other day, and she was watching a Humphrey Bogart, Katharine Hepburn movie, African Queen. And she said, Courtney called me in to the living room where she was watching this movie. And she said, Mama, what does she mean? Because Courtney was maybe 9 or 10 by now. She said, what does he mean? What does she mean? I think it was Catherine speaking, about her brother, the minister. And her mother explained, her brother, the reverend, she said, he's a minister like Reverend Maxine. And her eyes got about this big. And she said, men can be ministers too? It's a new world. And from the beginning, in the early 1920s, when Ernest Holmes was ordaining ministers and the churches were sprouting out around and then they became centers, many, many of the early ministers were women. Because people have asked me over the years, haven't you found it difficult being a minister, being a woman minister? No. And I never say anything sassy. But I think about it sometimes. Have you ever found it difficult being a silly man? No, I know. We're making progress, all of us. We're moving in the right direction of looking to see the God in you celebrating the God in me, the divinity within you that loves and beholds and delights in the divinity within me. We are one. We are family. And in the greatest sense of the word, it's true. So let me read to you, and you may take one home if you would like. prayer for our country. Believing in the divine destiny of the United States of America and in its preservation of liberty, security, and self-expression for all. See, we're still talking about speaking freely. I offer this, my prayer for my country. You see, in Centers for Spiritual Living, our prayers are a little different than some that people may have grown up with. It's not asking, it's accepting. It's not please, it's thank you. It's accepting what's already been given. I know that divine intelligence governs the destiny of the United States of America, directing the thought and the activity of all who guides its affairs. I know that success, prosperity, and happiness are the gifts of freedom and are the divine heritage of everyone in this country. I know that divine guidance enlightens the collective mind of the people in this country. This is what's taking place right now. Causing it to know that economic security may come to all without the loss of either personal freedom or individual self-expression. I know that no one can believe or be led to believe that freedom must be surrendered in order to ensure economic security for all. The all-knowing mind contains the answer to every problem which confronts this country. I know that every leader in this country is now directed by this all-knowing mind and has the knowledge of a complete solution to every problem. Each is compelled to act upon this knowledge to the end that abundance, security, and peace shall come to all. And I know that this spiritual democracy shall endure, guaranteeing to everyone in this country personal liberty, happiness, and self-expression. And that was from Dr. Holmes' radio program, This Thing Called Life, August 6th, 1950. We need to keep knowing this. It doesn't always look like this, does it? And it will not change until we're able to change our perception and choose something so much truer, something eternal, the eternal principles of the infinite mind and heart, and stick with that. To keep the high, this is keeping the high watch when we refuse to believe that things are going in a wrong direction and instead declare that this is the infinite mind of God showing up and we are doing our best, we are doing what's right, we are making a difference by every day standing in our truth, speaking our truth. We are free to speak freely. So let's speak our minds and let's speak our hearts. Whether it's within our minds, a nonverbal word, or whether it's truth on our tongue, let's do our best to see everyone in the unity that is the truth that we're ready to have experienced and expressed in this beautiful diversity, the wonderful flower garden of our humanity. Let's embrace boldness, compassion, and perseverance. I want to celebrate our unity in our diversity, and I want to speak freely about it, don't you? If you do, will you say our two words? Yes, please. That happens to be our motto here, and I love it. And so, will you say with me, I celebrate the true freedom. I celebrate the true freedom to speak with courage. To speak with courage and to move with grace and to move with grace in and through each productive interaction, in and through each productive interaction. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you. And trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude,
Simply click on the Donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.